Okay, Rabbi Say, so let us learn a beautiful piece from Rabbi Yaakov Galinsky on Parshas Vayishlach, and it's called Shiras HaSatan, the Song of Satan. So let's see what that's all about. Yaakov Avinu Nishar Levadei, V'nizdamein Loisarei Shal Esav. Yaakov Avinu, in this week's Parsha, he remains alone. He goes back to get the Pachim Ketanim, those small little jugs that were left on the other side of the river, and when he goes there, he encounters the Sar of Esav. Nevakim Kalalel, and the whole night they're wrestling with one another. Hiskala bepanim shinais, and the Satan appears to him with different disguises, different faces. Kaivekechavim nidmalai, he appears to him first as an idol worshipper. Ukisamad chacham nidmalai. And then he changes his guise to a Talmud Chacham, Ka'arche Listim, to a bunch of, to like a robber, Ucharaya, and a shepherd. The Yetzirah, we know, has many different disguises that he appears to us in. Not always the same, very seldom does he appear as a red guy with a pitchfork. He generally looks a lot different. In real life, sometimes he might look like somebody that's very chashuv. Sometimes he might look at like somebody that's very attractive. Sometimes he'll look like somebody that's an idol worshipper luring us, or like a rock star, or a shepherd. Nisa lufgaya b'shleimusa shel Yaakov. And he was trying to undermine and to injure the perfection of Yaakov. Vayakila Yachalai, but as much as he was trying to pin Yaakov down and to get him to succumb to his temptations or to his seductions, he saw that he wasn't able to. Vayakila Yachalai. Vayamer, and he says, Shalcheni ki ola hashachar. Send me away because the morning has arisen. The sun is about to come up, and I have to go on my way. Amar lo Yaakov. So Yaakov says to the Malach, what do you mean? I asked you for a bracha. Where are you running? V'chigana v'ato, a shoydei, sh'mesyar min hashachar. What are you, a vampire? You can't be around anymore when the sun comes up. Why can't you be around? Where are you running? Amar lo Malach ani. He says, no, I'm a Malach. U'miyayim sh'nevresi, from the day that I was created, says the Satan, I have my time has not come to say Shira until now. So I have to go. I have to be on my way. I have an appointment. It's getting late. I have today's my day to sing Shira, and I gotta go. I wish I could stay to give you a bracha, but I can't. I gotta run. So v'yesh lahavin, madua mikol hazmanim lo yigia shaita ala ata. Is this just a coincidence? It just happens to be that this is the day that he had a dentist appointment, that he had to run, he had to go, he wasn't, I have no time. Or maybe it was something a little deeper. And if it's something deeper, then it's going to blow our entire perception of the Yetzirah, of the Satan, of the Malach HaMavis, everything that we came in tonight thinking, Rabbi Yaakov Galinsky is going to turn on its head based on this simple question. Why all of a sudden did the Yetzirah, the Satan, have to run and to sing Shira right now? Why is it so pressingly urgent right now? His whole life he never did it, but now he does? Now all of a sudden he needs to sing Shira? Ela sheshirase shalam Malach, when does a malach sing Shira? What is the point of Shira? When do we sing Shira ourselves? We sing Shira when we're able to attain a certain goal. And we could say that a mission that we set for ourselves has been accomplished. That's when a person sings Shira. Lamashal, January 1st. What's happening January 1st? Sima Shas. So a lot of people out there, thousands and thousands of people, are going to be making a Siyam on Shas. It It's a big thing. And there's going to be a lot of singing and a lot of dancing and a lot of happiness. You know why? Because a mission that people have set for themselves, they've fulfilled. When you set for yourself a goal and you're able to say, I did it, I accomplished it, there's no greater feeling of sipuk, of satisfaction than that. If you set for yourself a goal to graduate college, to graduate medical school, to graduate dental school, be an accountant, make $1 million, whatever your goal is that you set for yourself, when you accomplish that, it's a tremendous simcha because you feel, I did it. It's a good feeling. It's something that it was a big deal for me. I didn't know if I'd be able to do it or not. I really pushed myself through until I was able to accomplish that which I wanted to accomplish. And Baruch Hashem that I've arrived at this moment in time, that's a huge simcha. So the Malach also, in a similar way, sings Shira when he accomplishes his mission. Umahu yi'udei shel ha-satan avur ma-nivra. Now, what is the goal of the satan? L'chayra k'dei lahachti es ha-adam. The simple way that we perceive satan really is my enemy. The satan wants to do me in. He is my mortal foe. He is the guy that laughs every time I slip up. He is the one that lures me into temptation and then goes and snitches on me to the Rebbeinu Shlom afterwards. And he's always makatrig against me. He's trying to really destroy everything and anything that I want to be in life. That's the simple way of understanding the Satan before we came into this room tonight. But the Ein Zeh Nachin, that's dead wrong. Shekach Amru B'Zayar HaKadosh, there's a Zayar, Mashal HaMelech Sheratza Livchay Ne'emanes B'nai. A king wants to check the loyalty of his son. So what he does is, he makes a whole sting operation against his son, and he has somebody hired to try to seduce his son to make a rebellion against his father, to overthrow his father's reign. What does the king really want? What's the report that he wants to get back from this private eye? Obviously, what the king wants is that this child should be faithful to him and not take the bait, not try to undermine his father's rulership. When that happens, then there will be a doubling of love to his son, and then not only to my son, I'm going to really give this Sarah a big raise. I'm going to be happy all across the board because what I really wanted was fulfilled. Let's say the Sar, this private eye, actually does what the king was dreading would happen. And he actually does such a good job that he seduces the son into creating a rebellion. Yichas hamelech al habein v'smarmar al sar. The king is going to be furious with the son. He's also going to look at the sar as being a rebel. This is what the Zayar says is what the satan is all about. It's true that the satan is trying to set us up for sin. That's true. Can't deny that. The Yetzara is basically hired by Hashem to make us falter, to make us fall. But the truth is that HaKadosh Baruch Hu doesn't want us to fail, and the Satan himself doesn't want us to fail, because if the Satan fails, it's not going to look too good for him. He's going to really get in the same camp as we will be when we sin. He's going to be painted with a broad brush as well. Lefichach, mi mais olam nisa satan hu yitzar lahti es bnei adam itzliach. The satan has always tried to tempt us, and he's always been successful. V'lahigia zmanu leimar shira, but his time for singing shira only arrived ki abayis baruch es marmer al hatzlach ha'isav.
Meaning, it's not that it was just a coincidental
you know, fact that punk the time that he wrestled Yaakov and he wasn't able to get Yaakov down to pin Yaakov to the mat successfully. Now I gotta go. I gotta sing Shira. The Shira that he was able to sing that day was the Shira of a success that he never had before, because the Yetzer was around since the beginning of time, but he always seduced people, and when he seduced people, generally speaking, they took the bait, they sinned, and that was not his time to sing Shira. You would think that that's when he sings Shira, but it's not true, because when he makes people sin, he, deep down inside, is very upset. He's disappointed with us, and he knows that the Rebbeinu Shlom also looks at him badly, because you tried too hard, you were too good at what you were doing, you were, you know, what are you doing? You're, HaKadosh Baruch Hu sort of puts the Yetzer Hara together with a sinner. Finally, came the day that Yaakov Avinu was able to stop the Yetzer Hara from seducing him. Vayarki lo yachalai. The Satan was not able to successfully seduce Yaakov Avinu. At that moment in time, finally, there was a successful mission that was accomplished on behalf of the Yetzer Hara, about the Satan. This is what the Satan wants. The Satan does not want us to fail. We think that he wants us to fail. And sometimes when we think he wants us to fail, that itself gives us an excuse why we're sinning, right? The Yetzer Hara, how many times do people say, I got such a strong Yetzer Hara. You have no idea how bad my Yetzer Hara is. And, you know, the Yetzer Hara just seduces me and I can't stop myself. He's so good. He's so strong. I'm just a mere mortal. I can't do battle with him. But if you would know that the Yetzer Hara really is rooting for you to not listen to him, just like that private eye that the king hired to try to seduce the son to rebel, he's hoping that the son does not rebel, because if he rebels, then he's also going to be tried for mutiny. So deep down inside, just like that private eye was hoping and praying that the son does not rebel, that therefore the king will be happy with everybody, that's what the Satan, when he's trying to, yes, he's trying to seduce us, but he's really hoping, he's our friend. More than being our enemy, he's really on our team, believe it or not. And when you know that he's on your team, then you're like sort of like, almost like when he challenges you, you should be happy and like embrace the challenge and say, I know that you're really just doing this to trick me and I appreciate your effort and we're gonna like team up together and not do it. And when you do that, there's going to be like endorphins kicking in, because it's not just you that'll be happy, the Rebbeinu Shlom's happy, and the Yetzer is happy also. Because that's really what he wants. The Shira comes. The time for the Yetzer to sing Shira is precisely when we overcome what he is trying to get us to do. V'nimtza shekasher anu chaitim chalila, what turns out is that when we sin, chas v'shalom, garmim anu avul yetzar, we're actually hurting the yetzar by sinning. He's like upset with us. Why are you listening to us? Why are you listening to me? Like ignore me. Forget about me. Don't listen to me. Uvakach yuvan vidu Yom Kippurim. And this is how the vidu of Yom Kippurim is understood. There's a vidu that we clap, right? We're very busy on Yom Kippur pounding our chests. Why are we doing this? Because we're saying al chetz. And one of the al chetz is very hard to understand. Al chet shechatanu lefanecha b'yetzer hara. For the sin that I sinned against you with the yetzer v'tamu v'chivide b'fnei atzmu halaykala v'eroivim b'asasas ha-yetzer. Isn't every sin really with the yetzer? Why is this a special al chet that we're saying? Shari amru gali v'yadua lefanecha shirat sinin lasu tzaincha u'mimakiv sar shavisu ha-yetzer ha-machtienu u'mayesh l'svadis al-benifra. Every vidoy, every al chet implicitly is with the Yetzer Hara. So what does that mean? A special al-chet. Al-chet shechatan lefanecha b'yetzer hara. What is that all about? All chatam are with the Yetzer Hara. What's a special chet? El mesvadim anu ala avla shegaramnu loy b'chataenu. it's a confession that we're doing, like we're apologizing to the Yetzirah. Hu hamidano b'nisayin kedei shenigbar alav. He put us in a test so that we should overcome him. But instead of overcoming him, we caved into him. We gave in. We folded. V'avinu hamelech mismamer aleinu v'alav. And our father, the king, is very upset with us, but he's also upset with him. And so we've not only failed Hashem when we sin, not only have we failed ourselves, but we actually failed the Yetzirah himself. It's a new way of looking at the Yetzirah. The Yetzirah is really not our enemy. It's a malach like any other malach on a mission. The mission is to put Nisyanis in front of us, and he's hoping and praying that when we're able to overcome the temptation, then we will get greater, we'll get stronger, we'll get closer to the Rabbeinu Shalom. He's a good guy. He's not a bad guy, the Yetzirah. He's a really good guy. He has a job to do, like just like the king's private eye guy had a job to do also, but deep down inside, he was hoping and praying that the prince does not want to rebel, does not take the bait. The Yetzirah doesn't want us to sin. The Yetzirah wants us to be really good servants of the Rabbeinu Shalom, because when we're good servants, Hashem is happy with him as well. When he does too much for against us and makes us, so that HaKadosh Baruch Hu gets upset, not only in us, but at him as well. I wanted to, it's a Mayurdiki Yisayid, and it's actually a Yisayid that the Chidushi HaRim says. I'm going to read you, I started doing in Hamud. Anyone ever read Hamudia? They give them out for free. I arranged that free Hamudia Center.
Once upon a time.
What?
Once upon a time.
No, it still should come. I actually...
Yeah, I can't.
What?
It comes like 3, 4 o'clock on Friday afternoon. So it'll be the last time I notice it.
There's a UPS delivery shipment that comes... Yeah, it comes a little late, but I hope... But it should be arrived. Anyway, whatever. But I started... Every week I do a column in Hamudia, like a page of like a quote from a Hasidish Gadol. But now I started doing something extra, and that's I put I translate in rhyme a poem from a Gadol once a month. What? You seen it?
I saw that on Charles.
So then this, did you read it? Good, I hope you didn't, because, all right, so this, it just happens to be that this week I put in a poem. It was actually a pretty long poem. Normally, it's able to fit on like a spread of 2 pages. This one went like 6 pages. But it has the Hebrew on one side, the English on the other side. And what? I write it. Why? You found the mistake?
No, that time.
Why? Not good?
Good. I you need it.
So why are you making me feel so bad?
No, I know with it.
Oh, okay. Okay. So you'll know. It's once a month, so it's the next one is going to come out. Maybe. I don't know. But it's probably going to come out before the CMS Shas, because it's a poem from Rameir Shapiro. Okay, but anyway, this one is from the Chidush HaRim. So it's the name of the poem is A Dialogue Between Man and His Evil Inclination. I will tell you that there's one line that's missing. They made a mistake. I caught it in time, so this is just a PDF that they send me to check, you know, if it's good or not beforehand. But the computer pushed out a line, so there's going to be one line missing. I'll try to, like, remember what it was at the time. Or Mayor probably knows it already, but all right, this is how it goes. So I'm not going to read it in Hebrew, but the Chidush HaRim, of course, is the first Ger Rebbe, and he writes a whole poem of a conversation between the evil inclination, the Yetzirah, to man. Then there's going to be another part of the evil inclination's words to himself, and then there's going to be another part, the response of the fool who listens to his inclination as he looks in the mirror. And then there's going to be the wise man's response to the evil inclination's words, okay? So, and I rhymed this, but again, there's one line which is missing. Okay. Okay. So this is the first part of it. The evil inclinations words. It's very, very similar to Rabbi Yaakov Galinsky's site. It's practically the same idea. Okay. So this is the evil inclination's words to man. Behold, the shiny mirror is drawing you nearer. Come now and see your splendor and beauty. Like doves by the rivers of water are your eyes so elite. Use them to look down at others with conceit. So impeccable are your wavy locks of hair. How handsome. Oh, how people stare. Your lot in life is so blessed. God has filled you with only the best. A charming manner and generous eye to your friends you eagerly supply. Come now, my son, come. Should strangers derive pleasure from your appearance and you get none? You too take in your magnificent grace. Happiness and joy should fill your face. Young man, make your heart merry during these youthful days. Rejoice, young man, in your adolescent phase. Before the bad times arrive, bitter as gall, your soul is still within, your spirit has not yet had its fall. An opportune matter, how fine, befitting a man like you in his prime. Okay, so that was the first part of the poem. Then, so far so good?
Yeah.
Okay. Good stuff, huh? Okay. Now this is the Yetzirah's words to himself. This is the side that we learned tonight. I wish his neck would be iron, and how great would it be if bronze was his brow? Then he would not notice when I entice. Never would he heed my advice. How much better it would be for his part if Hashem's Torah were etched on his heart. But what can I do? My Maker has ordered me not to forsake my vocational duty. I was created to ambush my prey, causing them from the straight path to stray. Superb in the eyes of God is it to escape from me, even flee. But that is not what the impulsive fool does. Instead, he appoints me his trustee to administer all of his cash. Whatever I want, I get in a flash. For the mind of the crooked acts so rash. Okay, so that's the next thing. And then, now's the response of the fool who listens to his... So you understand? The Yetzirah is saying... First the guy... The Yetzirah is speaking to the guy and saying, look in a mirror, chaperein, you're young, you're good looking, do what you should be doing. The Yetzirah talks to himself and says, boy, I hope this guy doesn't listen to me. You know, this is I have a job to do, but you know, the Rebbein Shalom made me achroy for doing what I'm supposed to, but I'm praying that he actually doesn't act rashly and listens to the Rebbein Shalom. Okay, so now, this is the response of the fool who listens to his inclination as he looks in the mirror. My inner father's words are so true. I should perceive my celebrity. Suddenly, my soul is filled with ecstasy. Had I gotten to know you sooner, more attention to my appearance I would have paid. My eyes would have been painted with a proper eye shade. Behold, my likeness resembles the angel's face. Who knows, maybe from them my roots even trace. In my lifetime, I'm determined to be happy and satisfied. To your words I will heed, my father inside. From your path I will not veer to the right or left. For your counsel I find particularly deft. Accept me as a father does his son. Even though I have so far just sampled your opinion. Enlighten my eyes for your statements I have heard. Day and night I commit to be attentive to your word. Humans on this world, their days are numbered. In the youthful years, should one feel encumbered? Okay. Now here's the the wise man's response to his evil inclination's words. And this is going to be the end of the poem. Okay?
Can you wrap it?
Can I what?
Can you wrap it?
Wrap it?
Yeah. What it's is almost it? There, but it's like...
Wrap. What's a wrap?
Oh, wrap it. With R-A-P. I thought W-R-A-P. I thought you wanted a gift wrap. Okay. Okay. You could do it maybe for Purim. Okay. Are you Israel's... This is the wise man's response. And this is how we should respond when the Yetzer Hara is whispering in our ear. Are you Israel's mischief maker with your alluring strategy? As a torrent, you wish to drown humanity? You favor no one. You are partial to no man. With your silver tongue, you conceal your diabolical plan. A deceptive tongue will the truth hide. You dress so magnificently, nobody realizes you've lied. You steal people's hearts with your deception. From the straight path to the winding road, they suddenly shift direction. To abandon the source of fresh water, you compel to dig up instead the broken well. Your net is upon all humans hurled. Traps are set to ensnare the world. Into the traps fall the upright people to be consumed. With your smooth heart-to-heart talks, they are doomed. As a friend and brother, you are considered to them, but with your evil heart, you will cause mayhem, pushing them into the pit, never to arise. Few are those who enjoy life's prize. Afterward, their mouths in punishment are filled with gravel, led to the slaughter, much like cattle. In the land of gloom, in darkness they travel. From a bird's eye view, it appears as if the snare was one of virtue, but that the net was cast in order to give him food. But this is not so. For blood he was wooed. The charlatan is considered genuine. He's so misconstrued. Yes, you speak words to enthrall, but in your heart a bitter root grows of wormwood and gall. Come now and debate. Let's see your mouth fabricate. Speak to me with sweetness the way people you con, mere mortals who, at the blink of an eye, are gone. You wish to shove me off my righteous way. From my upright journey you keep me at bay. Such sinful indulgence you expect me to repay my Creator by whom I was nurtured from inception, from my mother's womb. That's the end of the poem. But that's basically the same insight as Rabbi Yaakov Galinsky is teaching us, that it's a different look on life. When a person is able to see every time, like, I need to listen to my Yetzirah. No, you're a fool. The Yetzirah doesn't want you to listen to him. Don't get ensnared by somebody who's rooting for you to not listen to him. It's like if you have, it's all a con. It's all, sometimes I think, like, sometimes you're walking down the street, let's say, and then there's something that the Yetzer wants you to look at. Somebody's walking in your direction. You want to look at that person. But I think to myself sometimes that person doesn't even exist. That person is just it's like a person that's going to disappear as soon as you, it's just a test. The Yetzer gives you tests, and it's to try to make you fail, but it's not, but it's all a nisayon. And the Ramban says that a nisayon is a lashon of nes. It's like a banner. And every time you're able to overcome the nisayon, when you have a big nisayon, I wanna watch this thing, and you say, no, I can't. You don't. If you're able to stop yourself from doing it, even though, like, you really, really, really want to do it, at that moment when you have successfully vanquished that Yetzirah, the Yetzirah isn't like, shoot, like, I failed. The Yetzirah is so happy for you. And the Yetzirah himself, like, is like raising your banner higher on the flagpole. You've just, like, steiged, like, beyond what any malach can imagine. Because that's what a nisayon does. Nisayonis are not to trip you up. Nisayonis are to give you a test, and so hopefully you pass the test, and then your madrega is that much higher. Yosef at tzaddik is considered a tzaddik. You know why? If he hadn't been given that test with Eishes Potiphar, it would just be Yosef. He was called a tzaddik. He was given that test. He almost succumbed. came very close to succumbing. Chazal say, you know, that he actually went into the house that day to give in to the Eitzahara, to give in to Eishes Vaitifar, according to one shita in Chazal. And he was about to do it, mamish a second away from doing it, and he stopped himself. And when he stopped himself and he ran out, at that point he was given the title for all time Yosef HaTzadik. Because you become a tzaddik when you have a test and you're able to pass the test, that's a sign that you're great. Giving into the Yetzer is a sign that we're mortals, we're human. But when we're able to like overcome the Yetzer, then we have we've graduated to like a new level. The Rabbeinu Shlomo makes a scene for like MetLife Stadium, what's going to go on there January 1st, is nothing compared to like the in Shemayim, what's going on every time we're able to overcome such a temptation. It's nothing. It's a joke. Compared to how proud HaKadosh Baruch Hu is when we're able to not give in to the Yetzer, we become like, you know, the Gadol Hadar at that moment in time. And then if we build on that more and more, then we become like the biggest tzaddik in the world. There's a guy in yeshiva who a few years ago decided that he was going to start coming for davening every day. He was missing davening keseder. And he said, I'm going to do it. I don't want to do it anymore. I want to start coming for davening every day. And he started off slowly, did it one day and another day and another day. And he just came to me recently. I forgot, I think he's well over 1,000 days straight of not missing a single day of davening. I think he's almost at 3 years. Maybe he's beyond that. Maybe it's maybe way beyond it. And, you know, that's an amazing thing. That's an amazing thing. We could do this with anything. Any weakness that we have, if we're able to overcome it, make it a challenge, but understand that it's not that you have forces that are working against you to try to doom you. Everyone is trying to work, everyone's on your team. Everybody's, even the Yetzer, the Satan, everybody's rooting for you. And when you succeed, there's like massive amounts of celebration going on. The Yetzer, all of a sudden, he had to go, ki ola ha-shachar, he went to, he said, my time came now to sing Shira. Because he's the one that sings Shira and we overcome. He's probably happier than we are when we're able to not listen to him. That's what life is all about. And precisely when you're young, this is something that's very important for you to hear. When you get older, I don't want to say my age because, you know, I don't consider myself that old, even though you probably do, but like people that are really old, they don't, you know, when you're in a nursing home and you're sipping borscht all day, like, it's not, you know, the struggles are not the same. You don't get that standing ovation. You don't get MetLife Stadium applauding you every time you don't do, because nobody cares. You know, the nisayna is not there. You don't have, there's nothing much left to you. When you're at your age and you're able to, and you have everything at your disposal and you're young and you're strong and you're in the prime of life, which you all are, Baruch Hashem, and you use that life to learn and to daven and do the right thing and to avoid the many nisyanis that everyone has at your age, then you have accomplished greatness that you won't be able to accomplish later in life. Later in life you do it, okay, you know, big deal. But now if you're able to like not do things that you really, really want to do, it's godless. It's something that, you know, the Yetzirah is like really hoping that you don't listen to him. The Rabbeinu Shlomo is really hoping that you don't listen to him. And we also don't want to listen to him. So everyone's agreeing. It's unanimous. We don't want to listen to the Yetzirah. Everybody is agreement. Now we just have to actually implement it. And when we're at those moments that we're really tempted to do something that, you know, that's human. That's it makes sense. I want to do it. I'm young. I have the ability. Let me do it. And you don't do it, it's godless. There's Shira, like you can hear the Shira almost of the Yetzer when you stop yourself from doing an Avera at those very, very delicate moments, the fragile moments in life, when you're able to stop yourself, overcome, and just like don't do it. the Lashon of the Gron is in his letter is that when you're able to, he's speaking about Lashon Hara, which is also a good example. You're about to speak Lashon Hara, and you don't, you stop yourself. You're Chaysem Piv.
Kowega.
Says, it's the Lashon of the Gra is, it's from a Chazal, that Ein Malach Uberia Yachal Ishar. No Malach is able to fathom every moment that you stop yourself from talking. A Malach can't even right, Meir's right, it says Kol Rega, meaning even if you temporarily push off the Avera for a second, that's also amazing. It's also amazing. If I'm about to do something, this is, by the way, a trick that the Muslim Swarm say to do. Let's say you're about to, you know, you're in your dorm room and you're about to, I don't know, let's say you're about to watch something that you're not allowed to watch. Okay? So what do you do? But I really want to watch it. There's no one around. I have opportunity. I have a laptop. I have Netflix. I have whatever. I want to watch it. Okay? I'm not talking about, you know, Frozen. I'm talking about, you know, whatever. And I want to do it. So you know what you do? You say to the Yetzer, listen, I will do it. I will do it. Just, I want to do it in a half an hour. In the meantime, let me go for a jog. Let me go to the base medrash. Let me call my mother. I will do it. I just, give me a little time. So the Yetzer says, fine, I'll give you the time. Now, in a half an hour, generally speaking, by then, you've cooled off. Maybe your roommate came back to the room already by then, or maybe, you know, you just had second thoughts. But even if you push off the Yetzer momentarily, a rega, you don't want to watch it for a minute, for 10 minutes. You'll speak Lashon Hara, but I want to speak it in 10 minutes. I really want to say it now, but I'm going to push myself off. Every time you do that, even pushing it off a little bit, is a tremendous victory. The banner, the flag, is going higher and higher on the flagpole, and your godless is getting stronger and stronger by the second. And that's how Gedalim are made. That's how Tzaddikim are made. Tzaddikim are not people different than you and me. It's you and me that are able to control their Yetzahara and are able to really just try to do the Ratzon Hashem without rebelling, which is what Averis are. It's doable. It's hard because, you know, we really want to do things. The Yetzahara is very good at what he does. But when you know that the Yetzahara is really not, he doesn't want to be that good. He doesn't mean to be doing it to you. He wants you to overcome him. He wants to sing Shira when he is not able to vanquish you. I think it might help a little bit in our epic struggle against him.